National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on Sports Talk 97.7 is also brought to you by O'Neill Gas, Brister's Smokehouse, Acme Glass, Dairy Queen, Walpole Tire, and Ideal Portable Building. Text us on the Fairway Carts text line at 888-993-7762. Here's your host, Ben Carlisle.
Let's go! BC, Beck Haynes, John Tabor running the board, Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7. We are your home for Louisiana Tech athletics for the next 90 minutes. Going to break down Louisiana Tech's 20-14 victory over Grambling. It was a thriller. It was a thriller, Beck Haynes. How we doing tonight?
Pretty good, BC. We got lots to talk about.
Beck, do we ever.
Oh, man. You would have thought, BC, that we went 0-4 over the weekend.
Came pretty close. Not going to lie. You think BC likes to rant. BC's coming up on a rant next segment.
Yeah, we got a lot to get to next segment. Ben, you want to go ahead and thank our sponsors
Absolutely.
While we're here?
Shoot them.
Okay, we got First National Bank, Fairway Cards, Walpole Tire, Dairy Queen, Ideal Portable Buildings, Acme Glass, Brister Smokehouse, and our good friends at O'Neill Gas.
Yeah, Beck, and like we mentioned, Louisiana Tech knocks off Grambling 20-14 this week. They'll go on the road at Bowling Green. It's homecoming in Bowling Green, Ohio. 4 p.m. kickoff, Central Time. Can listen to the game, KXKZ 107.5. Coming up at 6:30, we'll interview the voice of the Bowling Green Falcons, Todd Walker. Not to be confused with Shreveport's own Todd Walker.
Yep. I got confused at first, and I was like, wow.
Well, hey, don't be confused, Beck. So let's talk a little bit about this Grambling game, and we're going to get into it more in the next segment. But, you know, first off.
I'm still sweating.
Listen to what I heard today.
Tell me what you heard.
Coach Skip Holtz.
What did he say?
Lost 8 pounds standing on the sideline.
Really?
Imagine how much Dwight Stallworth lost.
I know. I commented that in the beginning of the game in warm-ups, Ben. I mean, these guys are drenching in sweat already. We talked to somebody next to us who had a thermometer.
151 on the field.
On the field.
A little hot.
I was in the press box or in the shade the whole game, and I got home and had to sleep for 2 days.
Yeah, well, nice to hear that you're back up and with us.
I'm back up. I've been hydrating. Ben, I know we talked a little bit about it last week before the game about how big of a deal the weather would be.
Listen, if you don't like the facts, you don't like the facts. But right. It played a role in
the game. I absolutely think it did. I think it's been a long time since Tech had a game that way. Ben, I don't think there's a way that we can understand from the fan perspective to the players on the field and to other things like what that actually did to the players.
It's draining. Heck, they wouldn't even give us a water break.
Right. Now, it's still football in Louisiana in September, so yeah. There's part of that that's just assumed, but
it's also part glorious.
It's part
football season.
It is football season, but it was a hot one, BC. I was feeling for everybody sitting on the east side.
Yeah, a little hot.
If you sat on the east side the whole game, We need a giveaway. We need a BTB giveaway, if you can prove it.
I got some respect for you, but
we'll give away some respect.
Yeah, and real quick, before we get into breaking down this game, got a couple of news and notes to discuss. Tech head softball coach Mark Montgomery, no longer the head coach for Tech softball, Lady Texters, takes a new job at Maryland. The Fighting Terrapins.
Not surprised, BC. He had a great little short tenure here at Tech.
Yeah, I think he made two NCAA tournaments in 7 years.
Was he here 7 years?
Yes.
No.
Yeah, pretty sure.
He was not here 7 years.
Look it up. We'll get the stat guy.
7 years?
Yeah.
I was going to guess 2.
Oh, well, good call. You don't know very much.
Sorry, I haven't brushed up on my Lady Texter softball in a while.
Yeah, we'll get to it. But anyways, good for Coach Montgomery. Did a lot of great things for the Texter softball program. I know that, you know, they'll be getting a new stadium along with the Tech baseball team. And I know it was probably a difficult decision for him to make. Because of all the success that he had, because of all the returning talent that he had. But like we said, he certainly did a heck of a job while he was here. I think they went to the NCAA tournament 2 out of the last 3 years, and we certainly want to thank him for the time that he did spend in Ruston. And I know, have you got his tenure yet?
Oh, yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You're right, BC, 7 years.
That's, yeah, BC doesn't miss
too much. BC doesn't miss it. you guys. If you're worried about wondering if you should subscribe to Bleed Tech Blue, I mean, that just proves the point right there. BC doesn't miss much.
No.
Gets you everything you need. $9.95 a month. Join.
Yeah, join us at BleedTechBlue.com. As always, you can call us. You can text us on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762. Maybe Robbie from Chalmette's cooled off from the game. Maybe he came up. I'm sure he's used to this Louisiana heat, but call us, text us, 888-993-7762. It's the Fairway Carts hotline and text line. Also, Beck, Eric Conkle, Dunkin' Dogs, crazy as it sounds, basketball season right around the corner. I think they started practice, or I know they are practicing tonight. I don't know when official team practice starts, but they added their second commitment over the weekend, 6'6 power forward Kenny Lofton out of Port Arthur, Texas, commits to the Bulldogs. Small ball four, extremely skilled. Had him described to me as a Zach Randolph-type player, one of those bruisers down low, plays below the rim, a guy that can handle the ball as well. So that's the second commitment. Their first commitment came a couple of weeks ago when Kenny Hunter, 6'10", big man out of Huntington High School in Shreveport, committed. So Coach Conkle and his staff doing a fantastic job on the recruiting trail. I had an opportunity to go watch those guys practice over the summer. And I'll tell you one thing, but you know who Day-Day Bracey is?
I do, yep.
Yeah, pretty good point guard for the Dogs. Well, Mr. Bracey and his teammate Kobe Williams, freshman out of Dallas, he's special. I'll put it to you that way. I think this team's got a chance to have a pretty good year. They're going to be 10 or 11 guys deep. Added a 6'10 big man, Andrew Gordon, from West Virginia over the summer as well. So certainly some big things expected on the hardwood this winter and into next spring.
It's pretty wild that basketball's right around the corner.
Dude, great. I think the season opener's beginning of November.
Wow.
Pretty pumped up about it.
Be here before we know it, BC.
All right, so let's get into some Grambling talk. Let's get into some Grambling talk. Now, first off, let's talk about the crowd.
Right.
Announced attendance was a little over 23,000. I don't think there's 23,000 there at the start.
I can bet my life there wasn't 23,000.
I'd say probably somewhere around 17,000, 18,000.
That's what I was going to say, 17,000, 18,000.
By the end of the game, there's about 250 on the east side.
Right, which I was actually – I was glad to see. I mean, there was a –
it was time to go home.
It was time to go home. Yeah, Ben, I don't think the shade crept down on the west side till when. I mean, it got down to the
late third quarter.
Right. So the people that were – especially the people in the lower part of the west side, they felt the sun all game long. Ben, the players felt it all game long.
Yeah, and, you know, and it wasn't necessarily a game, like, as bad as it was for the fans. I think I heard – from an event staff guy, like 87 people in the stands received medical attention. Like, that's absurd. I know they sent the two bands home at halftime. I know Grambling's band had a couple or a few members that had to go to the hospital. It was just – it was miserable conditions.
Yeah, it was miserable conditions. Honestly, Ben, it wasn't my most enjoyable experience in the Joe. There was a little frustration
with
play. I'm just
glad you made it four quarters.
I did make it four quarters, Ben. I was happy to be there. I was glad that Grambling and Tech were finally able to play each other. But – I'm not gonna pretend like my experience wasn't diminished a little bit.
Well, you had your little backpack on that you could drink water out of, so you were good.
No, I did not. Don't lead the people wrong, Ben.
But anyway, enough about the crowd. It was a decent crowd considering the conditions. I'll put it that way.
Now, I was surprised. It was better than I thought it would be.
Yeah, now if it's a 6:30 or 7 p.m. kickoff, like, I think we're pushing 27,000.
Yeah, I really do. I believe that.
So
this is the whole battle with – obviously the game was on NFL Network, and we talked some about that of – you know, I've heard some rumblings today. Just, is it worth even, like, putting it on with the network? Or, I mean, is there much choice? Is that, like, a no-brainer for a university if you're given that kind of exposure coast to coast?
No, I think it is a no-brainer if you're getting a great kickoff time slot. Yeah, it absolutely is. Now, I think, you know, when the deal was signed with the NFL Network, you look at everything from the outside, it looks fantastic, but it's just, and we've seen Nick Saban complain about an 11 a.m. kickoff this week. It's just, when you play football in the South, it's just so – and we're not here making excuses.
Right, like, but you play this game even a week or two ago, it wasn't that hot.
No.
It was 95, and that's normal.
Yeah, it was just one of the hottest days of the year.
Yeah, we'd say it was a hot day. It was a hot day for a game, but I don't think it would have knocked attendance down like it did.
Yeah, and so it was a hot day, and, you know, the exposure's nice, but at the same time, it did take away from the crowd, which is certainly unfortunate. I think this will – easily be Tech's highest attended game of the year, you know.
Just drawing Grambling fans.
Yeah. It had a chance to draw even more, is my point, really. you know, you're not going to see 3,000 North Texas folks show up in October, regardless of game time. And I think we would have seen that had the game time been better. But it is what it is. You know, I don't know if Tech could have said, you know, we're not playing at this time. You can debate it all day. There's no real point in debating it. It was a 2:30 p.m. kickoff, and it was hot.
Right. It was. It was real hot.
And so let's get into the game. And, you know, I was at Skip Holtz's press conference today, and Amik Robertson was there. Bailey Hale was there. We'll talk about Hale in the next segment. We'll really talk about the special teams as a whole. But, you know, Amik talked about how hot it was, but he was like, you know, like we as players, like we're used to playing in it. We embraced how hot it was, and it was, you know, it was a football game. But I thought late third quarter into the fourth, I thought both teams, you know, we didn't see any cramps. I think we might have saw two cramps from Grambling players. I don't think any Tech players had cramps, but the temperature started weighing on the guys. I think the quality of football as a whole on both sides really seemed to lose, you know, some of its steam, I guess would be the best way to put it. It wasn't always clean. We saw, you know, both quarterbacks missing some easy throws. I know Grambling's quarterback Hickbottom had an easy throw right there when they were trying to drive down to take the lead. It just took away from the quality of football.
Right, and I think also it took away from the patience of fans because that seems to be when all the frustration crept in. But I agree, Ben, there's no way that doesn't play an effect on players going late into a game.
So looking at this game, like what are some positives that we can draw from it? And I think, you know, obviously from Tech's point of view, it's no secret. It's a tale of two halves.
Right.
You talk about the first half for Tech, 254 total yards, 20 points. I think Tech scored on four of its five possessions. And took a 20-0 lead into the half. And, you know, defensively, I thought Tech played well, you know, outside of that opening drive, which Grambling drove down the field and ended up turning it over. They only allowed 69 yards on 28 plays. So we got to see what it's like if both sides of the ball are playing solid football.
Right, absolutely. And just to start off, Ben, I mean, Tech is 1-1 right now. I don't think anybody expected Tech not to be 1-1 at this point.
No, yeah.
We're going to break this down, and a W is a W. That goes without saying. But
let's jump right to the Fairway Carts Hotline, joined by Quint. Quint, how are we doing tonight?
Man, I was doing better until I watched that Tech game and watched us try to lose.
It was a little too close for comfort.
Well, I mean, y'all were talking about the heat and everything else, but you're dodging the obvious that we coached to lose that game.
Hey, that's the second segment, Quint. We're getting there.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're certainly going to hit on some of the play calling. And you know, I certainly agree. I think Tech went far too conservative in that second half offensively.
Far too conservative. I thought I was watching an LSU game from 2011.
Jordan Jefferson in the national championship.
Yeah, I was waiting to see Leff come out and start eating some grass. I was like, where is the offense at? And if our defense, regardless of the heat, can get beat to death by an FCS team, no matter how good Grambling is, that's scary.
Yeah, that's concerning, no question. No matter the weather or any of the other extenuating circumstances, that was definitely a point of concern.
I would say Skip has now put himself on the hot seat for the Bowling Green game.
You think
if
so?
If we don't come out there with a 2-touchdown win, he's on the hot seat.
The hot seat? They're going to name buildings after Skip, Quint.
I doubt that, buddy.
No, and I agree with you. You know, you talk about going up to Bowling Green this next week. That's a lesser program, like you say. And I think that's been a fault that we've seen at Tech the last, you know, 3 or 4 years is playing down to their competition at times. And that's something that Tech certainly can't allow to happen this week.
Yeah, this is one of the few games I was pretty well pleased with how Jamar played. I just feel like in the second half, just told him to take the second half off and go sit down.
Yeah, only 6 second half passes.
I mean, I understand the heat. I mean, I understand the reasoning for the strategy, but
the strategy
wasn't working, and no one ever bothered to say, "Hey, why don't we change something up?"
No, I agree. You got to put the game away, but before you try to sit on the ball, so to speak.
And I guess I was disappointed to hear. I think it was a Skip's interview yesterday that him and his staff noticed that the team kind of got a little feeling too good about themselves, and they were up 20-0 at half, and they weren't motivated. Well, there's a person's job on that team to get them motivated.
That's exactly right. Exactly right.
I mean, I don't want to call Skip out and just really fuss, but I mean, if you see your team is not motivated, somebody needs to get in that locker room and scream and yell and raise his hand and get somebody motivated.
Absolutely, I certainly agree with you.
I mean, I don't know what I'm kind of watching this Bowling Green to see if Texas even have a reasonable season anymore.
No, I certainly think that's a fair concern. Prior to the game this week.
Okay. Well, just wanted to get that out there.
Absolutely. Thanks for the call, Quint.
Yeah, thank y'all.
You can call us. You can text us just like Quint on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762. We come back from the break. We'll continue discussing Louisiana Tech's 20-14 victory. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank. Banking on a first-name basis. Uncommon. People, service, and convenience. Uncommon. Dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank. Beyond banking, with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank. The Uncommon Bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Walpole Tire and Service has been a proud La Tech supporter for over 60 years. So when the Bulldogs hit the field or hardwood, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the staff at Walpole get you safely to and from the game with brake repair, alignments, and computer diagnostics, plus all major brands of tires, including Goodyear, Michelin, and BF Goodrich. Walpole Tire and Service, a name you can trust. Ruston and West Monroe. Visit WalpoleTire.com.
That happens all the time.
Excuse me? No, it doesn't. You always alert me.
My point exactly. Cars that have forward-facing cameras need to be recalibrated when you replace the windshield.
How would I know that?
Most people don't. Next time, take it to Acme Glass and Mirror. They were the first one in the region that could replace your windshield and recalibrate your forward-facing camera. And unlike taking it to a dealership and paying out of pocket, Acme will bill your insurance. It's that easy.
Thanks. I'm going to Acme Glass and Mirror.
Hey, DQ fans, the 2 for $4 Super Snack is here to be your new snack time fuel up. Conquer the day and every crave by mixing and matching any two of your favorite snacks, like pretzel sticks and sundae, a cheeseburger and a Coke, or fries and chicken strips. And for only $4, that's pure snack power. Which combo will you try first? Swing by and find Snackisfaction today. Only at your DQ. Happy taste good.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Ben Carlisle, Beck Haynes, John Tabor running the board. Louisiana Tech 1-1 in 2019. The 20-14 victory over the G-men of Grambling. Beck, Let me just explain my thoughts to this game.
Tell me, BC.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right, listen up. Tech had 254 total yards. They scored 4 out of 5 times in the first half. They limit Grambling to 28 plays, 69 yards defensively outside of the first drive of the game. Now, that's ideally what we want to see. We want to see some dominance on both sides of the football. Now, you want to go to the second half. First off, the Grambling band at halftime was spectacular.
Yeah, I said Tech went into the half up 20-0, came out of the half down 21-20. That's all. I mean, they were phenomenal.
Well, Beck, and I was telling you, we're covering the spread. You're like, no, we're not. Tech's not covering the spread. Well,
who was right about that, PC?
You're a betting man. You're a betting man. Matthew on the hotline, Gary Croton should have a building named after him before Skippy. I'm trying to figure out why everybody calls Skip Skippy.
I mean, you don't miss an opportunity to call somebody Skippy.
That's true. That's true. Drew says on the hotline, just saying, if they would have been allowed to, well, we're going to leave this.
We're going to leave that quote on the text line.
Yeah, good call, Drew. Good call, Drew. perfectly acceptable for radio, Drew. But now, let's talk about the second half. Now, Tech comes out of the half. First drive, drive it straight down the field. Jamar hits the deep pass to Stanley to get deep into Grambling territory for a 40-yard throw. One of two deep balls Jamar hit in the game,
must
say. And then they get down inside the 10, fourth and two, and they're stuffed. Now, do I have a problem with Tech going for it on fourth and two?
Nah,
I like the aggressiveness. Try to go up 27-0, put it away. I don't have a problem with it. However, the offensive lineman misses a block. Tucker's hitting the backfield, short of the line to gain. Grambling gets the momentum. They drive 93 yards. It's a 20-7 game. All right, we're good. We're good. It's 20-7. We'll go down here and get a quick six. Didn't happen. Punt.
Oh, we run the ball four straight times.
Punt. 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 Touchdown. Grambling. Onside kick. Grambling recovers. Tech gets a stop. Tech wins. Now, love to see the victory formation. Don't get me wrong. But here's my problem. And Skip said it today in the press conference. What was his goal in the second half?
Get out of there.
Get out of there. Let's go. Let's get home. Let's take the win. Let's play the minimal amount of plays that we have to play. And listen, I understand the logic. I get it. Like, I completely understand. I thought the same thing. But, Beck, you got to put the game away first.
I mean, Ben, you don't got to tell me.
And you look at the talent that Tech has at wide receiver. Adrian Hardy, Isaiah Graham, Smoke Harris, CJ Powell, Isaiah Graham. I think I already said him once. Malik Stanley, Griffin Hebert. There's so much talent outside a receiver. Why throw it only six times? Your quarterback's completing 67% of his throws. Like, if we're being honest with ourselves and we're not being judgmental basing our opinions on 2017 and 2018, Jamar's not the issue in the first two games. He's playing pretty well. He's not making mistakes. He's getting the ball to the receivers. Now, let's throw it 15 times in the second half. Let's put the game away. Let's win the game 34-10, win the game 37-13. It didn't happen. Now, what lessons can you learn from this game? Well, I think the number one lesson that you have to learn is don't take your foot off the pedal. Well, you can't take the foot off the pedal. And you and I were talking about it at the break. What'd you say?
Said a lot of things at the break, BC.
Sets a bad example.
Oh.
For your players. Sets a bad example for the players.
Yeah, if you're the coach and you're trying to show them that, I mean, we're not to take the foot off the gas. Like, you want them to come out.
That's my main issue.
Yeah, you want them to come out.
Pedal to the metal.
But you come out, and you got your wide receivers mad. You got all this stuff going on that makes you.
Live radio at its finest.
You got all this stuff happening. I'm just saying, BC, that's disheartening for a player.
No, let's talk about what Grambling did in that second half. Now, let's give them some credit. The quarterback, Hickbottom. That kid's good. Their quarterback's good. 6'4", 210, sophomore. Grambling ran 52 plays for 311 yards in the second half. I get it. The Tech defense was worn down after all the punts. But let's give some credit. Grambling played a good game in that second half. They earned the right to – heck, they might should have won the game. They're 1 of 4 in the red zone with 3 turnovers.
Yeah, it could have been a lot worse.
It's pretty terrible.
You go back to not passing only six times in the second half, BC. Was there any – you think there was any validity to the theory that Skip – like, I mean, had 73 rushing yards against Texas. If we're gonna establish a run game, is this the game to do it? Why he did that?
No, I think it absolutely was, and he talked about that today. They were trying to figure out if they're a zone scheme or a man scheme in the run game. He said they went to primarily zone scheme in the second half, and it wasn't effective. Now, why is a zone blocking scheme not effective? I think the big thing is, I didn't think the blocking was terrible. But in a zone scheme, it's not set up to run through certain holes. A zone scheme is set for a running back to be patient behind the line of scrimmage before hitting a hole when he sees it. Now, you look at Tech's three running backs when you talk about Justin Henderson, Israel Tucker, and Jaquice Dancy. The only one out of that group, and this isn't a knock against the other two, is Dancy that has he can really stick his foot in the ground and get north and south.
His first two runs were awesome.
And when he sticks his foot in the ground and gets north and south, he's special. Now, Dancy only saw 12 snaps in this game, and he's going to continue to progress. He's getting his weight back. I know he's been sick. You know, he's missed some time in camp. He's missed some time in practice. He was out there today, you know, full go. So he's going to see a bigger role this week. But, like you said, I think they were working on things. But the issue I think you have and I have and everyone else is it just got too tight.
Right. And that happens. I get it. But put the gas back on.
You do have to adjust. I agree with that.
I mean, it gets to 20-7 and you're to two possession ball game.
That's a good question. We have a couple of texts on the text line. Skip has zero killer instinct. He never has and never will. He needs to give up the play calling.
I'm not bashing Skip. I don't like the way he handled this last game. I just feel like we've had this conversation before.
Well, a couple of times. And I think it's important too. Like, this is one half of football. Let's not act like Tech's been trying to run it down Texas's throat and then Graham him for the first. That's not the case. And I don't think we're going to see them go into Bowling Green and throw the ball only 12 times. Like, I think they know who they are, but I just think they towed the line too closely in trying to prove that they need to figure out a run game. That's my point. I just want to see more aggression in putting a team away. Like one of our texters said, have that killer instinct.
Right.
Have that mentality of, we're going to show you how good we are, and we'll let up when we feel like letting up. We're not going to let up just because it's a three-score game.
Right.
And I think that's really our point.
I mean, here we are complaining about a WBC.
It's a dub.
It's a dub, but this is – I have an issue personally with just – I don't know what our identity is. I don't know what our schemes are.
No, I can tell you what the identity is. Tech is a pass-first offense.
But they didn't show that.
No, I agree. But I'm telling you, that's what they are.
Well, then why don't they play that way?
No, we're going forward. I can promise you that. You got a problem and don't believe me? Come to my house.
Come play in my yard. Got a sprinkler out there.
Come on. I'm just telling you. My point is this. I don't think Tech's going to line up and try to run it at teams all the time anymore. I think it's a one-off situation. That's why it's hard to evaluate the second half. As ugly as it was,
I brought up that point last week. I skipped that question. You're a heavy underdog and then a heavy favorite. Are you able to pull anything from those games? And of course, yeah, you can learn things, but I mean, we're doing all kind of different stuff out there.
Well, I think you learned this week. We're not going to run the ball at you for 350 yards.
In 102 degree weather.
Exactly. So let's go ahead and take our next time out. We come back from the break. Todd Walker, voice of Bowling Green, joins us on the Fairway Carts Hotline. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat. And you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town or at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
Have you looked at the calendar? The seasons are changing and fun season is almost here.
You mean fall season?
Nope. Fun season, because any season is more fun with a new Easy Go golf cart from Fairway Carts in Minden. With an Easy Go that perfectly fits your lifestyle, you'll have fun at the football games, fun with the family on a camping trip or riding around the neighborhood. Even have fun in the woods during hunting season. And Fairway Carts always has a great selection of EasyGo gas or electric carts with the performance you need and the value to please any budget. Experience the comfort of an EasyGo personal cart, the convenience of a multi-passenger cart, or the rugged durability of an EasyGo utility cart. Yes, fun season is coming, and it's going to be your new favorite season of the year. It all starts with a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts in Minden on Highway 531, just north of I-20. Give them a call at 318-371-CART.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, is back on the radio. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Ben Carlisle, Beck Haynes, coming to you live from the Sports Talk 97.7 studios. Louisiana Tech hits the road this weekend for non-conference action at Bowling Green. And joining us on the Fairway Cards hotline to discuss the Falcons, the voice of the Falcons, Todd Walker. How are we doing tonight, Todd?
Doing very well, guys. Good to be with you.
Absolutely, Todd. So first things first, you know, Bowling Green, first-year head coach was Scott Leffler. Comes over to the program after spending the last few years at Boston College. Talk a little bit about the culture change that he's tried to establish in his first year.
Well, I think the number one thing that he's concentrated on is strength and conditioning. I think that was, to him, the biggest deficiency as far as trying to establish a culture. And you know, a lot of that has to do with more than the types of lifts that you do and how much lifting you do. But the details, otherwise, they stepped up their nutrition program. He was very instrumental in reaching out to alums and donors to beef up the off-season nutrition program. So I think that was number one. And then number two, he felt there were a lot of bad work habits, and that is something that maybe takes a little longer to get rid of or install the proper work ethic throughout the team. So I think those were the two things that he was hoping to get established, and I think they're well on their way on both counts, but not where they want to be.
And I know, you know, when you look at this team, especially offensively, I know a big story in Bowling Green this week was that Matt McDonald was denied his waiver. And he was expected to be the starting quarterback if he was deemed eligible. What does this mean that his waiver has been denied?
Well, it means that Darius Wade is clearly now the man. It also means that he'll probably stop splitting the reps. They went through camp actually splitting the reps almost evenly, a third, a third, a third, just in case Matt was deemed eligible. The tough thing is, he was clearly the guy that was going to be the starter. And that's not to denigrate Darius or Grant, but he had won the job. And really, I think he thought he was going to be granted the waiver, and it just didn't work out. So they're going to go with Darius Wade, a guy who has a bit of a resume as a Division I quarterback when he was at Boston College. He's got some tools, but he didn't play at all last year. He was out with an injury after he left BC to do a graduate year at Delaware. He blew out his knee, didn't play at all, and really was thinking his football career was over when Coach Leffler called him to come to Bowling Green because they only have those three, as far as scholarship, upperclassmen quarterbacks on the team. So it's a blow to the team, certainly. I think they thought with Matt at quarterback they could win more games, be more competitive, for instance, last week against Kansas State, but you know, it is what it is, and they'll go with Darius, and hopefully he can improve his accuracy throwing the football. It's been his main shortcoming in the first couple of games, and they'll sprinkle in Grant Loy as well, a great athlete, a guy has got a big arm. So it really is down to that.
And looking at this team, you know, from a scheme standpoint offensively, Coach Holtz at Louisiana Tech talked a lot of it today about how Leffler likes to run a lot of two and three tight end sets. They like to run a lot of up-tempo stuff. What have you guys seen from them offensively in the first couple of games?
Well, they have gone up-tempo on occasion. Last week, they really didn't get a chance to do it because they couldn't complete a pass, to be frank about it. When somebody was open, it seemed like they missed them. And when they had guys open on other times, maybe there was pressure. Last week, they really didn't get into much of an offensive flow. The first week, they played an outmanned Morgan State team, and we saw some of what they would like to do. It's sort of, I don't want to say oxymoronic, but counterintuitive that they're a power-type offense a lot of times, but it's also in a hurry-up form. So it's, I don't want to say it's totally unique, but it's certainly not very common to see an offense built around that. And I'll tell you what, if you looked like a tight end walking around campus, you might have a brown jersey on because they got a bunch of them, and they didn't have that many when Coach came in. So they brought in a couple of older guys, one that came in as a JUCO last year and got hurt in the first game. So they have him, and Austin Doris came in from Indiana. They got a number of freshmen that are in there in the rotation at tight end, so they're using them a bunch.
And, you know, you talk about the running backs. I know Andrew Clair missed the game last week against Kansas State. I guess my first question is, what's his status for this week? And then I know Davin Jones also transferred over from Boston College. It's been pretty effective as well in the run game in the first two games.
Yeah, Jones has been really a pleasant surprise. We were sort of under the impression he was more of a bruiser and a short yardage guy, which he is, but he's proved to be pretty shifty and pretty capable on all downs. You mix in Bryson Denley, who's a sort of a scat back receiver type that also plays at the running back spot. Drew Clair is really a special talent. As far as his status, I think it really will be a game-time decision. He didn't play last week, as you alluded to, with the foot problem, and they don't think it's anything serious or long-term, but it's just a question of the pain tolerance on game day and how he feels. I don't think they want to push him if he's not really 100%. And, you know, all coaches and programs have to weigh this sort of thing. Not that you don't really want to win this game on Saturday with homecoming with La Tech, but, you know, you still have your conference season to look forward to, and they really, really need Andrew Clair now. With Matt McDonald not being eligible, and they're probably going to be a little more limited in the throw game, they got to have Drew Clair 100% for the conference season. So I guess I'd be cautiously optimistic, but I wouldn't be surprised either way.
And shifting over to the defensive side of the ball, Brian Van Gorder, the defensive coordinator, obviously has a tremendous amount of experience at the Power 5 level as a defensive coordinator, having spent time previously at Louisville, Notre Dame, Auburn, also spent some time at Georgia in the early 2000s. What does he like to do defensively, and how have those guys performed throughout the first 2 weeks?
Well, defensively, they're still trying to really implement his system. And part of the problem is we're just short of Jimmies and Joes. You know, we talk about X's and O's, but the Jimmies and Joes, the program is short right now. They're at, I think, 70 or 71 scholarship players. The D-line is particularly thin. The starting four, I think, are pretty capable, but they're undersized in the middle at the tackle spots. The defensive ends are pretty good. Carl Brooks is really the best player on the defense, and he can get after the quarterback legitimately, but the defense has not played really awful. Even the other day against Kansas State, they really couldn't get stops on third downs, and the offense was really bad and didn't help them out at all in the first half. It just seemed like the defense was continuously on the field. So I think the other part of the problem is they're playing a true freshman at cornerback, and last week that was like chum in the water for a shark, as Kansas State, just about every time they threw the ball, attacked Juwan Hudson, and it worked for them. It was a pretty good receiver that they had. So defensively, very much a work in progress, where I think offensively you can see what they want to do, and at times they have done it. Defensively, it's still very much trying to get things up to speed.
And you mentioned that it's homecoming this weekend in Bowling Green with Louisiana Tech coming to town. What are some of your keys to the game from Bowling Green's side of things?
I think first and foremost, they've got to string together some first downs. Last week, they had five, I think, some outlandishly low number, and that is just not going to work. The defense will not hold up. If the offense can at least possess the ball and string together a few first downs here and there, that'll help the defense. And really, I think offensively, being able to run the ball, you know, everybody says that, but I think more importantly is Darius Wade has to be more on point with his throwing. There were people open last week against Kansas State, which is a good, solid defense. He just missed them. If we make a few of those throws, you know, you hang around in that game. You know, I certainly wouldn't propose to say they would win that game, but, you know, instead of being down 38-0, you know, maybe it's a 21-7 or something. You give your defense a chance. I think the defense is coming along. If the offense can get back on track a little bit, BG should be able to hang in this game. And, you know, getting pressure occasionally would help. You guys, you know, we're really jealous. You got a quarterback that's been starting since 1993 or something. You know, we've got guys that just came in 2 weeks ago. So that's a nice luxury to have down there for Coach Holtz.
Absolutely, Todd. Well, we certainly appreciate you joining us tonight on Bleed Tech Blue Radio and looking forward to a fun matchup Saturday afternoon.
Hey, we're looking forward to you guys coming up here, and we're looking forward to coming back down there on that return trip, which I believe is next year. So we'll see you then.
Absolutely. Todd Walker, voice of Bowling Green, joining us tonight on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. And, Beck, you know, you look at this Bowling Green team, you know, and I think Todd, you know, pretty much summed up my thoughts. Offensively, they're really hoping that the quarterback, his name escapes me now that I've quit thinking about him, but is ruled ineligible, Matt McDonald. I know they were counting on him big time. He'll be eligible next year with 3 years remaining. So that'll certainly pose a challenge to Tech in 2020. But talking about Darius Wade, their quarterback, Boston College transfer. Quick question. Who recruited Wade to Boston College? Tech offensive coordinator Todd Fitch.
No way.
Yep. Scott Leffler, head coach at Bowling Green, was the offensive coordinator at Boston College when Fitch left to come to Tech. But, you know, you look at Wade at quarterback, like Walker mentioned, Todd Walker mentioned, not a great thrower, a guy, he's not very big. I think he's around 6 foot, maybe 5'11". They want to try to get him on the edge and some bootlegs, try to get him some easy throws to kind of get him in a little bit of a rhythm. He's played in 24 career games, barely thrown for 1,000 yards. Hmm. You know, 57% completion percentage, but at the same time, not a running threat as well. He's only ran for 73 yards in his career. I think 40 of those yards come this year. So Tech should have some success defensively. Now, how will Tech hold up on the defensive line against a team that is running 2-3 tight ends? I mean, if you're running 2-3 tight ends, like, you want to run the football.
You got some athletes, right. Yeah,
yeah, like, you want to run the football. There's no secret to it. So, Ken Tech getting some big personnel, getting some four-man fronts. I think we'll see more of Connor Taylor in this game defensively, especially since it's probably going to be a more of a slobber knocker versus a sideline-to-sideline type game where we would see Trey Baldwin. Now, he talked about the defense, the young defensive backs. I think the corners, he mentioned Hudson's a true freshman. I think the kid on the opposite side is just a sophomore. So, like we talked about, you know, the past 2 weeks, I think Tech's best bet is to throw the football a ton.
Yeah, this is a game for Tech to really get in their groove. You know, Hardy and
you have to get in a rhythm.
You, like, you have to,
and like you said, you have to establish an identity. Like, right. Who are you?
Yeah, and it's, you know, I mean, I know we see this all over the league, but, you know, players need confidence in each other. They need confidence in the coaches. So Hardy and
I'm glad you mentioned Hardy. You talk about Hardy and Graham. You know, Oklahoma transfer, TCU transfer. We saw what Hardy did last year: 75 catches. 1,000-plus yards. I know we're expecting.
He's trying to eat, BC.
He's trying to eat. And we're expecting big things from Graham as well. But those two guys only have 9 touches in the first 2 weeks.
Know.
And I don't – and I'm not to take away from Powell and Hebert and Stanley that are playing really well. But those two guys on the outside are probably your top two playmakers at receiver. So I think they need to get the ball more.
Right.
And receivers like to get the ball.
No, they love it.
They like new contracts. Whew. But so I think Tech's going to have some success. Now, he talked about the interior of their defensive line. Their heaviest guy inside is 278 pounds. So,
Ben, I'm almost 278 pounds.
Yeah. You know, one more whopper.
Yeah.
But
yeah, wait, I mean,
Tech, I'm not going to say Tech should run the ball at him over and over, but if you can't push around those guys inside, like, you're not pushing. Like, even Grambling was bigger inside than that.
Right. And it just, you know, just and it, to kind of tell you where this is trending, Tech this game opened up at Tech a 7-point favorite, and now
it's
10.5.
Yeah, oh, it's up to 10.5.
So, and I'm sure last week, Tech being a 30-point favorite and then winning by 6 kind of hurt the situation, but.
Well, and I've had
you.
A few people text me like, man, this is stealing money. Yeah. Like Tech should blow these guys out.
I'm going to be honest. I love Tech as much as anybody, but they make me nervous when you're putting money on them.
That's exactly what I told the few people that texted me. Like, 10.5 seems pretty high, especially
Vegas ain't dumb.
Road game on homecoming? Yeesh. Tricky. So, anyways, let's take our next time out. We come back from the break. We're going to ask the fans. Let our fans ask us some questions, Beck. You listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank. Banking on a first name basis. Uncommon. People, service, and convenience. Uncommon. Dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank. Beyond banking with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank. The Uncommon Bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Got a lot of stuff? Ideal Portable Buildings has what you need. A new custom-built portable building built with quality materials at low prices no one will beat. Ideal also carries Dirksen Portable Buildings in all sizes from a garden shed to a lofted barn cabin. And keep all your stuff covered with a new Eagle Carport from Ideal. Rent to own with no credit check and 12 months same as cash with approved credit. Find Ideal Portable Buildings on Facebook or call 699-9426. Walpole Tire and Service has been a proud LaTeX supporter for over 60 years. So when the Bulldogs hit the field or hardwood, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the staff at Walpole get you safely to and from the game with brake repair, alignments, and computer diagnostics, plus all major brands of tires, including Goodyear, Michelin, and BF Goodrich. Walpole Tire and Service, a name you can trust. Ruston and West Monroe. Visit WalpoleTire.com.
Want to find out stuff about Tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Ben Carlisle, Beck Haynes, John Tabor running the board. I want to thank Todd Walker, voice of Bowling Green, for joining us in the last segment. Beck, you know, throughout the day, took some questions on Bleed Tech Blue from the fans. We are the men of the people.
Correct.
So we're going to answer some questions that you wanted answered.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of combine this with the barbershop rumblings because these are all pretty much in the direction of the things I was hearing this week, BC.
Man, you hear a lot of stuff.
I'm telling you, people think I'm a genius.
Man, you know so much.
I know. All right, Ben.
First off, I want to say something.
Okay, just say it.
If you saw Beck at the game on Saturday, had official coach's gear on.
I know.
Like, had a couple people say, come on, Holtz, make some better calls. Beck's like,
Whoa. You got me confused.
Media.
I'm media. Anyways, BC, I'm just going to hit you right out of the gate with some fire.
Hit me.
Is Skip feeling any heat to do better? Or is he, I mean, you mean to say this? You mean to say what's after this?
Yeah, let's hear it.
I mean, since he's buddies with Coach O, is he looking for some kind of job in BR?
First off, no. Skip might be buddies with Coach O, but he ain't going to BR. Like, not for nothing.
He's trying to get a building named after him, BC.
Hey, Joe Burrow's winning the Heisman, so Skip ain't going to be on.
We ain't talking about.
Let me tell
we ain't talking about them.
Now, does Skip feel some heat? And I'll be honest with you when I say this. I'm going to say no.
Heck no, he's not feeling heat.
Like, I get, like, the complaints about the job that Skip has done, like, especially the last, what, 2+ years?
We could pull up a rant from last year, BC, on whether Skip is in the hot seat or not.
Yeah.
He's not.
Well, and I think, you know,
it's two games. He's 1-1, right where we're supposed to be.
Yeah, and I think, too, like, I hate to bring this argument because, like, you get so ticked off at me when I say this.
I do, every time.
But, like, you look at, like, the past, I'll just read you previous Tech coaches. Like Skip Holtz, 582 win percentage. Sonny Dykes, 595. Okay. Like Skip wins one more game, he's at that.
Yeah.
Derek Dooley. Oh, we love Derek Dooley. Didn't even win 50% of his games. Oh, Jack Bignell. Won 45% of his games. Give Gary Croton some credit. Won 62%. We had a text said he should have a statue. He only coached 34 games. Joe Raymond Peace. Love Joe Raymond. Won 48% of his games. Carl Torbush. Won 27%. A.L. Williams. I'm back into the 80s. Like, takes D2 days. Won 59% of his games. So, like, my point is, like, I'm not sitting here saying that Skip's tearing the doors down and winning championship after championship, but like Tech's winning a lot of football.
Right,
games.
And that's what I mean. But I don't think he's gonna get a building or stadium named after him because he was accomplished all these things. I think it's gonna be more about the level, like the years of consistency, seven, eight, nine wins.
But I also think that we live in an era too where like, and I hate to say this because like we both love social media, but like a social media era allows a fan to have a lot more of a voice, I guess you could say. Like, they're able to voice their opinion
right. And
it be seen far more often than, like, back in the 90s when you could think what you wanted to think, but nobody would ever know.
Yeah, nobody would ever know that.
So, like, now, like, you know everything people say pretty much. And, like, call it a negative, call it a positive. It is what it is. But, like, I don't think Skip's feeling any pressure.
No, he's definitely not. But, BC, we got to hear
somebody
from our boy,
feeling some pressure.
Robbie and Chalmette, let's go to the Fairway Cards Hotline. Robbie, how you doing tonight?
Hey, what's up? This is Robbie. Shout out, man. What y'all doing out there?
Oh, a little radio, Robbie. What you got for us?
Hey, yeah. Well, I feel a little heat from my bookie because Tech and Skipper and J-Maw were 0-2 against the spread. And I don't know when the last time the Dogs went 0-2 against the spread with Skipper at the helm. I've probably been like 2009, 10, 8, 6, 5, 1, 3, 2, 1. I don't know. But I tell you what, if we can't cover against Western Kentucky or Eastern Kentucky, Bowling Green, whoever it is, then Robbie's going to be at the bottom of the marsh because I ain't paying.
Robbie, I hate to hear you've had some tough times. I mean, are you taking Tech to cover against Bowling Green? You know, Robbie, he's out.
Robbie, like once he
you don't get a question into Robbie.
No, like he's out.
That's my fault. I apologize to the fans. Like,
Robbie's going to get his question in and then see you.
But that's a good point. 0-2 on the cover this year. Vegas don't have a clue what Tech's going to do. So how are we have a clue?
Mate. When you're as down as much as you and Robbie, you just need to close up the book.
Gosh. I didn't go near that cover this week.
I don't blame you. All right, let's get to some more questions.
Where were we, BC? Oh, questions. Skip ain't on the hot seat.
Nah, not happening.
Not happening.
Not right now.
I was thinking more on the longevity, his consistency of seasons. If he looks like he's going to be here till I don't know, is 100. I don't know. He's going to be here a long time. I'm not going to get into the whole Tech's doing well on their budget thing. I don't even want to go there, but I know you love that.
Nah.
I know you read your daughters that argument slash conversation every night.
Not your boy.
Oh. All right. Let's see what else we got. Will the defensive philosophy change in ways that Baker and Amik are being used?
I think you look at the defense. I talked about this in the first segment. Like, I'm frustrated. You're frustrated. What do we like to see from a defense? Okay. As long as you're aggressive, we can live with the big play. Like, if you're aggressive, trying to force turnovers, trying to put pressure on the quarterback, we can live with it. Now, you look at Bob Diaco's scheme throughout the first 2 weeks. I think it's been – I don't know if vanilla is the right word. I think conservative is certainly fair. Now, when you talk about Tech's talent that they have, the defensive backfield is talented. But if you're not getting pressure on the quarterback, it's tough to cover for 6 or 7 seconds. So, I think the more – that Tex gets comfortable with Diaco's scheme, the more pressure that we're going to see. Now, regardless of what pressure you put on teams, I think Willie Baker has to be rushing the passer more. Because, like, as good as Willie Baker is, as athletic as he is, he's just not that good in coverage.
Right.
And I think you have to give him a chance to do what he does best. We saw it on the fourth down play against Grambling. Like, he got an opportunity to rush the passer, right in his face, and forced a bad throw. So I think we'll see – I think we'll start seeing more of what we want to see. But until they get the scheme 100% down and don't have any communication breakdowns, I don't think we're going to fully see what it can be.
Right.
If that makes sense.
BC, you and I, we've never rolled out a new offense. I don't know how long it takes.
I agree. Well, and I think it takes a lot of learning.
Yeah, I don't remember where you said this. You might have said this on the board or in our text message, but like, it's there's a lot of new stuff going on at Tech. We've played we were a severe underdog. We were a severe favorite. So I'm not making any like major assumptions until we get a few games into the season.
I agree. I think it's fair to judge this team after
FIU. We talked
FIU.
About this exact thing happening before the season started, and we're still flustered by it. I mean,
no, I know. Like, we knew it was going to happen.
All right, we kind of touched on this. Give a real quick answer. How much did the Heat take too much of a toll on the players?
No, they'll be fine.
And it'll carry over to next week. You're not worried about them.
No, I think
IBs, 2019.
Yeah, energy was good at practice today. Practice makes perfect.
Oh, you were at practice today, BC. I didn't see you there.
Yeah, bro. Well, you were at the house.
Why did Wallace play so many snaps?
Let me tell you something. This is one of my favorite stories of the year. If you've followed the Tech program for the last 5 years, you know about Courtney Wallace. Tech was able to flip him from Texas Tech to Tech around signing day, coming out of Neville. And Wallace has battled injury after injury after injury. He battled weight issues at times. But now, he is playing exceptional football at nose tackle. He's down to 305 pounds. Played 70 out of 91 snaps on Saturday.
Oof. He's earned his keep, man.
Holt said today in the press conference he was the MVP of the game. Just played exceptionally well. Probably one of my favorite stories of the year is how well he's playing at nose tackle, and I just hope he keeps it up and continues to have a tremendous year. Such a great story.
All right, we kind of touched on this, but give your quick answer. The Grambling game. Offense and defense, the way it was called, does that affect the morale?
Ooh, this one might be a little juicier than we think, BC. Beck, I don't think it's affecting the morale. I think the players just want to get after it. I think it's the best way to put it.
Yeah, I think they're just speculating, but I think they're probably just sick of – they leave Texas kind of like, man, we left a lot out
close,
there. We were close in that
We
being,
were close to clicking.
We were close
I mean.
To clicking, close to being in that game. Ah.
Like then the next week, let's open it up.
Yeah, let's open it up.
Let's show
get
who
your
we
Grambling.
Are.
It's kind of a tough 20 points, I'm going to be honest.
No, I agree.
Mean, it's like we worked hard for those 20 points in the first half, and you come out of the second half and don't do squat. It's like.
I think there's some frustration.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, if you open up the offense, let them play the game, like, I think they're fine. I don't think the team is down. I don't think they suck.
Right.
But I think they just want. They want to go out there and make plays.
Right.
They don't want to throw the ball six times.
Right.
Which I understand.
Yeah.
I get it.
Oh, yeah, you're right. All right, moving on. Ben, I made this comment to you. I'm just going to be really honest because I'm an honest guy.
I appreciate it.
Halfway through the game, I made the comment, like, this is boring football. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. It is a valid point. I don't like it. It's true. I felt that way. But is there any responsibility of the coaches to provide an entertaining product? Not game plan, not like tech.
You had to go here.
I know. I had to. But sometimes, like, you got
to
be aware of.
Back, I'll put
do
it
you
to
have
you this
to
way.
Be aware of the product you're putting on the field?
I'll put it to you this way. I think if, okay, like last year, you talk about last year's product, and we debated this. I thought last year Jalen Ferguson was worth the price of admission.
Right.
Like I thought
we don't have a Jalen this year.
No, I agree. Now, if the team is not scoring 40 points a game, is it worth spending your money on to come watch, especially in a day and age where, like, people don't view it as football anymore?
Yeah,
it's simple entertainment.
Yeah, and like, I'll be honest, like, Saturday's entertainment would have probably been more enjoyed on the couch in the air conditioning for most people.
Yeah.
And
for
most
people. I think, you know, I think a lot of things at Tech, like, not only the play on the field, but, like, the game day atmosphere, there needs to be more to it to me. Like, the Whataburger, throw it at the bullseye and you win no matter what. Like, at least make the dude hit the bullseye.
I thought you had to hit the bullseye. Apparently,
yeah.
You just hit the white sheet.
So, like, is a coach responsible for it? I think he is to a degree. But at the same point, like, coach gets paid to win.
Right.
Like, do you want your product to be fun and exciting? Absolutely.
That's a good point. When we come back in the next segment, I want to talk more about it. It's a coach's job to win.
All right, let's get back after the break. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
Hey, DQ fans, the 2 for $4 Super Snack is here to be your new snack time fuel up. Conquer the day and every crave by mixing and matching any two of your favorite snacks, like pretzel sticks and sundae, a cheeseburger and a Coke, or fries and chicken strips. And for only $4, that's pure snack power. Which combo will you try first? Swing by and find Snackisfaction today. Only at your DQ. Happy taste good.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
Got a lot of stuff? Ideal Portable Buildings has what you need. A new custom-built portable building built with quality materials at low prices no one will beat. Ideal also carries Dirksen Portable Buildings in all sizes, from a garden shed to a lofted barn cabin. And keep all your stuff covered with a new Eagle Carport from Ideal. Rent to own with no credit check and 12 months same as cash with approved credit. Find Ideal Portable Buildings on Facebook or call 699-9426.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubak Rustin Monroe, 97.7.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Two more segments before we wrap it up. Ben Carlisle, Beck Haynes, John Tabor running the board. Beck, we were talking about, before we went to the break, a coach's job.
Yeah.
When it comes to entertainment.
It's absolutely 100% a coach's job to win
games.
Is it? Yes.
Oh, yeah, okay.
To win games.
Yeah.
So, as fans, do we have any say in how they do that? We don't have any say. We have opinions. But what a point that's been brought up and I've heard over and over and over is Skip has the tendency to coach not to lose instead of coaching to win. So, I agree with that. We've said that. I said that. Like, I like Skip. I really do. There's times when I'm like, keep your foot on the gas or whatever, obviously.
Throw it deep.
Fans love it. But, like, Saturday, like, I feel like Skip was trying to win, like, the most efficient way possible, and it got, like you said, got a little too close. So, there's times when, like, the efficiency stuff is not fun to watch.
No, I agree with that.
Well, I don't know the answer to, like, how much are we allowed to be upset about.
No, my thing is this, and this is, like, an awful comparison after the UAB game last year, but, like, you look at UAB, and if you watched UAB play every game last year, like, they were so freaking boring to watch. Like,
really?
They're awful offensively. Their defense carried them. Like, I'm talking, like, 12 points a game. But the thing is, like, they didn't win 8 games. They won 11 games. So it's like everything you see, and granted, Twitter doesn't tell the whole story, but, like, if you see UAB fans, like, they love their program. Like, they love what they are. And, like, I was reading some of their press conference clippings this week, and Bill Clark's talking about how they can't run the ball. They're only running for 2.9 yards per carry. They beat Alabama A&M 24-19. They beat Akron last week by, like, what was it, by 17 or something. But, like, and then I look at some of their stats, and, like, they're still not good offensively. But it's like, when you win those ugly games and, like, you go 10-2, 11-2 because of it, like, it's different. Now, if you play an ugly game and you lose at home on the last game of the season to Western Kentucky, like, yeah, that's the stuff that, you know,
it burns a little more.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, an 8-5 year last year is not as fun when you're scoring 25 points a game.
Right.
Now, if you go 8-5 but you were scoring 45, like Tech did when Ryan Higgins was here, it's a completely different, you know, level of entertainment.
Ooh. Being a fan is weird, man.
No, and I think, but like, it's a, there's always going to be like subtractors, but yeah. Like that's the beauty of being a fan. It's just like if you go this week and Tech won 50-0, well, it'd be like, well, Bowling Green sucks. So like, there's always going to be that point of view. But I just think that like it like you can win ugly, but you have to win a ton.
Right.
It's like the Bears, like they're terrible in the NFL, but they went 12-4 last year. So like. Everyone magically thought Mitch Trubisky was taking them to the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? Like, it gives you a jaded look sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that 100%.
So, like, it's just like you look at things differently if you win a lot in an ugly fashion versus, like, just winning, like, an average amount of games, I guess is what I'm saying.
Do I think that the coaches are 100% focused on that W and not the product like, they're putting out? They are. Skip don't care. He doesn't care that fans are unhappy. That may have been his game plan. He might have been going into the second half of that game and been like, I'm going to run the ball. I'm going to get these guys off the field as fast as possible, and I'm going to get into the locker room with – I don't even care if it's the ugliest W you've ever seen.
And Brett says on the hotline, the lack of that excitement hurts the game day experience. Could it also hurt the TV deals and contracts? And I think – talking about TV deals and contracts, like it's so difficult to determine like what will come Conference USA's way the next time that the contract is up. But – I agree about that lack of excitement hurts the game day experience. Now, the flip side of that is like on the athletic administration side,
it is run, like it is money.
They have to it has to be on the money.
Right.
Like it can't be like Joe Blow singing in the little area that Tech does tailgating. Like it has to be a name so that fans are like, "Oh, I'm going to check this guy out." Like it's 105 degrees, but they're passing out this and this and this. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there has to be multiple things for your kids. Like, you have to feel like we're going to have so much fun as a family that, like, the game is secondhand. And right now, I think there's something a little bit in the middle of that.
Right, and it's a double-edged sword. You have, you know, the money side, the business side of football, and some of those things do matter. The product you put out there, the game day experience, that does matter. And then you got the winning, which is the only thing the coach is concerned about, which honestly is what he needs to be concerned about.
Yes.
And you put those two things together, and they're not coming from the same mold, and fans are frustrated.
Exactly. They don't they don't mix like exactly well together every time.
Right.
And I think that's part of the frustration.
Right. So the answer is yes, they matter. Yes, the product matters. Yes, the winning matters, but just not in the same lane.
And it's hard for them to mesh at the same time. Right. Like you look back at 2016, like, Tech won a lot. They won the West. But in that year, I remember, like, oh, well, the defense is terrible. Like, everything is never going to be perfect at the same time. And, like, I don't mean to be, like inconsiderate when I say that, but, like, the product's never going to be perfect. Like, it's not perfect anywhere.
No, it's not. And like the places that it's good is the big schools, Alabama, Clemson.
Yeah. Well, and even
95% of the schools in this country don't have the product they want.
Well, even, like, you talk about, like, Michigan, like, they're 2-0, they're number 10 in the nation, but like flip on SportsCenter and all they talk about is how terrible they are on offense and how Jim Harbaugh should be coaching in the NFL and not college. Like, it's just so difficult to have everything clicking at the same time in all phases of what it takes to bring a game day together, especially a home game.
Yeah, so I can't – I mean, I do feel for coaches. I mean, I can't imagine the pulls they feel from both sides. I mean, it's not a big stadium. Skip feels it, you know?
Yeah, I agree. So let's go back to the Fairway Carts hotline, where we're joined by Joe. Joe, what you got for us tonight?
Hey, what's going on, man? Bleed blue, man. Bleed blue, man.
Absolutely. Hey,
the analogy, the perfect analogy is the Baltimore Ravens, man. Hey, Harbaugh under them, those guys won a ton of ugly games by little or nothing and won championship football with it and built a solid fan base off of winning totally ugly games. Now he has a proficient offense, and a lot of people not recognizing him because they're not winning ugly right now, but he built a sound career off of winning ugly. And as long as Skip wins ugly and he's consistent with winning, it shouldn't be a problem.
I agree with you. And it's just like, you know, what we've grown used to for so long at Tech is those high-powered offenses, just a different style that we're not accustomed to seeing.
Exactly. And everything must change, man. And if we're going to adapt to change, adapt to it with a smile, bro. How about that?
Absolutely, Joe. Thanks for the call.
All right.
And I think he makes a good point. Like everything, and like that's my point too. It's like it's so hard to like judge just basically. And I hate to go into this so far, but like every year is like it seems so like generic. But like every season's not the same. Like as a fan, like you hate to say that, but like if you go into a given season and, like, you don't have a receiver that can stretch the field deep, well, like, why are you going to throw deep all the time? Right. You know what I'm saying? Like,
as and your personnel change, we lose Carlos Henderson, Trent Taylor. Our offense, like, changes.
Well, and, like, and it's not like a criticism, but, like, you can say, well, man, that was bad recruiting. You should have had a faster receiver. Like, well, that's understandable. But
you think they're just out there trying not to get fast receivers?
Well, and at the same time, it's like, okay, well, like, do you still want him to throw deep because he should have one, or do you want to see that adaptability? And that goes back to the Grambling game of being able to adapt when you're not able to run the ball as well. But, like, it's just you have to adapt to how your personnel fits. And I think, you know, but like we said, the job for a coach is to win. The job on the business side of things is to make it fun for families to come out to. And that's the main thing, is to try to get both of those things clicking as well as you can at the same time.
Yeah, and expectations are, you know, every frustration you have is born out of unmet expectations.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We was a 30-point favorite on Saturday, and we were 2 minutes to go in the game, we were potentially going to lose.
Exactly.
If they have a good drive and score a touchdown.
Exactly.
Like, that's going to disappoint some people.
But at the same time, it's like, well, back in 2014, Tech lost the game to Northwestern. So it's like, but you still had, you know, granted, this was 5 years ago before they really started winning, but, like, you still won the West Division. So, like, there's just a whole bunch of different ways where you can reach your goal that you want to get to. And at the end of the day, like I said, the coach's job is to win. It doesn't matter in the style that he does it. Like, he just wants to win.
Right, I agree. I think we can put that one to bed.
Let's ask one more before we get all to right. our final break.
Where does Tech need to improve? Well, that's a good one. Where does Tech need to improve against Bowling Green on defense and offense and special teams?
Special teams wise, I thought they were really good on Saturday.
Yeah, Skip, I was listening this morning, had some stats on special teams. It was great.
Yeah, I thought Bailey Hill kicked off pretty well. You know, outside of the first kickoff, hit a 48-yard field goal, was 2 of 2 in the afternoon. Smoke Harris had two nice kick returns. Michael Sam had a 27-yard punt return. So I think the special teams probably took the biggest step forward from week one to week two, which is certainly something that we continue to hope to see on a week-in and week-out basis. Now, offensively, I think against Bowling Green, Tech has to get back to who they are.
Right.
Now, I know we discussed who is Tech, but I'll tell you, Tech's a pass-first offense that allows the receivers to get in some space and make some plays. Now, is that going to rely on Jamar hitting a bunch of 50, 55-yard bombs? No. Now, but you do have to stretch the field. You do have to show that you're willing to take a shot down the field. But if you can get some of those guys in those bubble screens, get Hardy on those slants, get Graham on some of those dig routes, like, you're going to have some success. I think Tech has to get back to that offensively and allow that passing game to open up some holes in the run game. Hopefully Dancy can go from 12 snaps this week to, say, 30, or 12 snaps last week to 30 this week. Maybe can touch the ball 10 or 11 times, get a nice tune-up for FIU, starting conference play the following Friday night at the Joe. Defensively, I think Tech needs to continue becoming better at making zero mistakes from an assignment standpoint. There can't be any breakdowns, especially in the secondary. I know this is going to be a big run game for Bowling Green. The outside linebackers have to do an exceptional job at setting the edge. That was one big point of emphasis, and I think that's hopefully what we'll see. Hopefully the D-line doesn't wear down. Like I mentioned earlier, you know, hopefully all, you know, the D-line played a bunch of snaps when you talk about Milton Williams, Courtney Wallace, and Kendarian Mason. Hopefully those guys bounce back from a conditioning standpoint as well. But I think, you know, continuing to play within the system defensively and allowing some of that talent to take over, because one thing that was mentioned in the press conference today, Wade's not a great passer. Now, whether he means to or not, he throws a bunch of 50-50 balls, and Amit talked about it. Like, we as defensive backs have to make plays on the ball. Like we're not going up there to knock the ball down. Like, we have to pick the ball off and give our offense some short fields if we want to play the way we can play. And so I think this is a get-right week, but Tech's got to go up there, and like we talked about, like, it's got to be a business-like performance, and you got to take care of business.
Right, I think this is going to be a big stamp week for the defense. I think Amik left a little out on the field on Saturday. I think he'd probably say he was disappointed. I mean, the stats weren't that bad for Grambling, but I don't feel like we saw anything or gained any like confidence in areas with the defense, you know?
So yeah, they forced some turnovers, but like at the same point, you don't come out feeling overly confident.
Right. It's just interesting game to be. I'm really looking forward to getting into the heart of the season. So we have a few games to look back on.
And to speak about the heart of the season, like this is a stretch for Tech. When you talk about Bowling Green this weekend, FIU at home the following weekend, then you go on the road at Rice, like you need to reel off three in a row before I believe it's Southern Miss comes to the Joe. So you need to get to 4-1 in a part of the schedule that you should, because Bowling Green's struggling. FIU is really struggling after getting blown out by Tulane and then losing to Western Kentucky. And then we obviously know what Rice is. So it's time to take advantage of a soft portion of the schedule and really make some hay and make a move to let Conference USA know that Tech's going to be a contender. So let's go ahead and take our final timeout. We come back from the break. We'll kind of put a bow on it, make our predictions. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
If you've been waiting for just one more good reason to buy a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts in Minden, here it is. New EasyGo carts from Fairway Carts are available with lithium batteries. That means a much longer battery life, which means more time for you to be out having fun on your EasyGo. From a standard golf cart to the big 4 and 6 passenger carts for the whole family, EasyGo is the industry leader in lithium battery technology. Their batteries are 100% maintenance-free, deliver consistent performance with a longer life and much quicker charging time than conventional batteries. And best of all, they come with an unprecedented 8-year battery warranty. Don't wait any longer. You've got all the reasons you need to buy a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts in Minden. Come see the big selection in the showroom on Highway 531 just north of I-20 or call 318-371-CART.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of 4 different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat, and you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
First National Bank, the Uncommon Bank. Banking on a first name basis. Uncommon. People, service, and convenience. Uncommon. Dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank. Beyond banking with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank. The Uncommon Bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
To keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts Hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Time to put a bow on it. Great show tonight, Beck.
You love that phrase.
I love
it. Put a bow on it.
Beck, let's take a look real quick around Conference USA last week. Take a look ahead to Conference USA. This week, only conference matchup last week. I mentioned Western Kentucky beat FIU 20-14. Tech beat Grambling by the same score. Middle Tennessee knocked off Tennessee State 45-26. That was a huge crowd in Murfreesboro, by the way. UAB went to Akron, picked up a 31-20 win. Lane Kiffin continues to get destroyed.
What is the deal with that?
I don't know, but I saw that their quarterback has been hit the second most times in the country today.
So. I mean, he to have the year he had his first year and then to just completely tank after that, what is – I mean, his coaching career is
– Yeah, he ain't getting out.
He ain't hashtagging come to the FAU anymore.
Nah.
Nobody
not.
Wants to come, bro.
Nah. UCF beat FAU 48-14. Appalachian State beat Charlotte 56-41. Virginia Tech took down Old Dominion 31-17. Mississippi State defeated Southern Miss 38-15. Perhaps the shocker of the week, SMU, Sonny Dykes – defeats North Texas 49-27. Texas Tech defeats UTEP 38-3. Baylor beats UTSA 63-14. Wake Forest knocks off Rice 41-21. And Boise State defeats Marshall on the blue turf 14-7. Looking ahead to this week, obviously Tech travels to Bowling Green. Florida Atlantic travels to Ball State. Army will travel down to San Antonio to take on UTSA. Western Kentucky and Louisville will meet in a neutral site game in Nashville. North Texas will travel to Cal Berkeley. Massachusetts, UMass, coming to Ruston in a few weeks, will travel to Charlotte. Southern Miss will be at Troy. That's a pretty intriguing matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio at Marshall. New Hampshire, the Fighting New Hampshires, at FIU. Looks like Butch Davis's squad should get on the board. Middle Tennessee will host Duke. It's an interesting matchup.
Mm.
No more Daniel Jones for Duke.
Mm-mm.
Backing up Eli Manning, getting negative fantasy points. And Texas and Rice will play in a neutral site game in Houston.
Ben, so, you mentioned fantasy points. Did you win your matchup this week, BC?
Yeah, Beck. Didn't happen. Broncos D let your boy down with a negative one.
Do you remember who scored the most points in the league this week, bro?
You did. Congrats. First time in your career.
Hey, I got my guys riled up.
Gotta love Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
Beck, I must ask you, why are you carrying four quarterbacks?
Dropped them, yep. But I do like trade bait from the quarterback perspective. So we had a guy starting Cam Newton. There's people that need him.
Yeah, you dropped Dak.
Got Carson Wentz just sitting on the pine pony. I did drop Dak, and he won't do that.
Dak lit it up. Okay, so let's get into this week's matchup. Like we mentioned, Louisiana Tech at Bowling Green, 4 p.m. kickoff, ESPN Plus. I'll be at the beach, so I'll miss the post-game show. Mark Kramer, Sean Fox, you can catch them. KXKZ 107.5. John Tabor will be producing that one. Beck?
BC.
What you got this week?
For a prediction? Yep. I mean, it's a shot in the dark, Ben. We're not even close ever.
No.
But
at least we're honest.
35-10 Bulldogs.
Ooh. Cover.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Tell Robbie.
Tabes.
34-17 Dogs.
Ooh.
Both of y'all expect the Dogs to bounce back.
I mean, Ben, based on your notes that I'm looking at here, you don't have much faith in Bowling Green. I think I see the words "just terrible" on here.
Man, I don't know what to think about this game. Part of me thinks Tech's going to come out and score 42, 49 points, but then I'm like,
nah,
probably not happening.
Probably not happening.
I'm going to say Dogs 31, Bowling Green 23.
Ooh, I don't think they score that much.
31-23. Reverse psychology.
Okay.
Reverse psychology. So, good show tonight. Like I mentioned, I'll be at the beach this week. We'll have our game day podcast out first thing Saturday morning. I'll break down Bowling Green, take a look at their depth chart, take a look at some of their key pieces on offense and defense. Pretty good stuff.
It's going to be a good one. A 4 o'clock kickoff, Ben?
Yeah, 4 o'clock kickoff.
ESPN Plus.
I get the kids to bed after the game.
I thought you were going to say before the game.
You can do that, too.
I mean, gosh.
Late nap.
Run a tight shift at your household.
Yeah, you know, a little late nap action. But, yeah, it should be a fun time. You know, 151 on the turf last week of the Joe.
Supposed to be 76.
High of 76. What's that, 80 degrees?
Yeah, and oh, by the way, this is Bowling Green, Ohio.
Yeah, not
Kentucky. We've had some confusion.
Yeah, not Kentucky. Bowling Green, Ohio. If you're making the trip, make sure you go to Ohio. Catch a Reds game on your way up. Beck's a big fan.
Big fan.
Big fan. But anyways, we certainly appreciate you joining us tonight on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'd like to thank Todd Walker, voice of the Bowling Green Falcons, for joining us. For Beck Haynes, for our producer, John Tabor, we'll see you same time, same place next week. We'll see you.
Listen for the First National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show every Tuesday at 6 p.m. with your host, Ben Carlisle. Also brought to you by O'Neill Gas, Brister's Smokehouse, Acme Glass, Dairy Queen, Walpole Tire, and Ideal Portable Buildings. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
Social media is like 35 years old and older, and they've already gone through a lot of life. You know what I mean? They've already hit adversity and things like that. And these players are making millions of dollars coming out of nowhere, and they've had these expectations of their life that this is what they're going to do. So when they make it, and they make their expectations of playing ball, and they haven't even reached their expectations yet. So someone like me who played college football, and I could never even dream of playing NFL, and if I made it, I would have been so happy that no matter what anybody said to me, I wouldn't care.
Well, but Craig, the only problem, and thanks for the call, we appreciate your support, is it's easier to say that when you're not in it. Once you've made $150 million, things change. People change. You could say whatever you want. Oh, I would just be happy to play for $500,000. No, you wouldn't. Not if you were in that spot. And I think that's the part people don't get. Chris, things have changed from the standpoint that it's the same thing with AB, and I'm not making an excuse. But once you've made $80 million, it's hard for anybody to tell you anything. I'm serious. You know what I mean? And that's what happens to people.
There are some challenges that come with being in the spotlight, but the fringe benefits and the benefits
they outweigh
in
general,
it. No question.
No doubt. Mm-hmm. Austin in Kentucky, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Austin?
Hey, guys. I just want to say, you know, love talking to you guys, man. Love calling in. Love hearing your show.
Thank you, man.
What I will say, I think Kevin Durant, he kind of did almost deserve everything. I mean, he did the ultimate no-no. He went to the enemy. It's, you know, kind of like Jordan going to the Bad Boys or Kobe going to the Celtics. That was just a no-no. So, I mean, other than trash in the restaurant, that was crap. But I think he deserves everything that he got. On the other hand, I do think, you know, I think players should be allowed to say, in essence, what they want back. You know, they kind of play the big bad wolf where they run their mouth, and then you see somebody like Westbrook in Utah when they say something back, and now all of a sudden everybody's all scared and stuff. Say what you want as a fan or whatever, you know, you talk your crap, I guess. But when they give it back, man, don't be surprised. And I don't think they at all should be penalized for it.
No,
that's where Durant is unusual in that he goes back for the most part.
But that's not good for business. That's not what the leagues want. You don't want your players attacking the fans.
Well, with a limit, yeah, not attacking them or cursing them out or something like that.
Durant just challenges you. Yeah, it's not.
And the media, you know?
Right. All right, Edward in Omaha, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Edward?
Thank you. I agree with Kevin, especially when it came to the media. He might still be a little mad after the whole Warriors are better off without him. Or having to deal with is it KD's or Steph's team? But so I get how, you know, he had love-hate relationship with the team or with the media. I like how he called out other players on how they games change once they get famous or get money. You could look at Dwight Howard or Carmelo Anthony about that. The other thing I think is really interesting, especially with Anthony Davis going back to New Orleans, I think he's going to get the same treatment Kevin Durant did from the team after he put in all that work. And then when he goes back, he's going to get all that hate. And then he's going to be like Kevin Durant, be like, but, you know, I did all that for you. But
he put him through some stuff that Durant didn't.
Right. What he did, he wrecked their whole season last year.
Yeah.
And
he didn't, I mean, even though Durant didn't win a championship with OKC, they were a perennial power and a contender, you know, and got to the finals at least once. So.
James in Texas, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, James?
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
Doing great.
What's happening, man?
It's just strange to me. I don't know what KD gets out of these things, right? He says he just wants to play basketball, yada, yada, yada. But at the end of the day, this is his career, so there's going to be things about your career you don't like. I'm sure Coach Kerr loves his job, but he doesn't like dealing with your sensitivity, Draymond's attitude, Zaza Pachulia tripping folks. Like, there's things about your job you're not going to like. So I'm not sure what he gets out of saying these things, you know?
No, that's a good point.
I don't get it either, right?
Negatives about every single job, no doubt about it. All right, we are brought to you by TrueCar, the odd couple that is, and car shopping can be confusing. Terms like dealer price, list price, and invoice. TrueCar shows you what other people pay for the car you want. That way you can recognize a good price from a bad one. So when you're ready to buy a new or even a used car, make sure you visit TrueCar and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. All right, a man who knows what it's like to run an NFL team, our guy Charlie Casserly, will weigh in on everything from the AB drama to what the Cowboys will do with Dak. He's next. But first, let's bring in our man Ralph Ervin for the latest in sports. Ralph.
Gentlemen, I just got one quick statement, and I'm surprised that you just went right past it. Don't hate the player, hate the game. And he just did that. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
What?
That's all Kevin Durant did. He didn't hate on players. He hated them, you know, the game.
He hate the game. All right.
There you go.
All right. The game. All right.
All right. Didi Gregorius.
Making it possible for all that money, though.
Well, you asked the question. He gave it.